Mixtape Podcast.
What it do? What's good, y'all? I am Josh So Focused.
I'm French, the bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 56.
And this is a weekly podcast where we cover the most intriguing Knicks news of the week.
Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure you check us out on our website, knickstake.com. So, to all the newcomers, anybody who's newly watching and anybody who's newly listening, I want to thank you guys. Thank you so much for taking the time out to watch us, taking the time out to listen to us. Welcome. Welcome to the Knicks Take Podcast. Mm-hmm. If you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on the platform you're watching us or listening to us on. Make sure that you like, subscribe. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button on YouTube.
Hit the notification bell on YouTube.
Yep.
Make sure you know when we drop in every episode. We're going to be dropping at 8 a.m. every single Tuesday. So just make sure you locked in on that aspect.
And most importantly, please share this with your friends, your family, any Knicks fans that you might know. Please, you know, just talk about us. You know, we can't survive without you guys just talking about us, saying how much you like us. So please make sure you share with your friends and family.
For sure.
Now on today's episode 56, we are going to talk about a few things. We're going to recap the biggest Knicks news of the season. Mm-hmm. We're going to start off talking about the Cam Reddish trade for Josh Hart. We're going to talk about the Knicks the Knicks once again coming back to the playoffs, facing Cleveland Cavaliers in round one. We're also going to talk about Julius Randle's all-star run, his all-NBA run once again. And we're going to talk about Jalen Brunson. And we're going to talk about how we feel about him not getting any of those honors. Mm-hmm. And finally, we're going to talk about the last biggest Knicks news of the season, Knicks Heat in round two.
And we're also going to touch on the Damian Lillard trade, three-team trade, landing him in Milwaukee, and how Drew Holiday being in Portland could shape out things for the Knicks. So,
yep, that is going to be our new feature that we're going to have every week, the Knicks topic of the week. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and talk about the biggest Knicks news of that week, whichever week that's going to be, and that's going to be called the Knicks topic of the week. We're going to finish off our podcast every week with that story.
Right.
So, first of all, this past season, Knicks season of 2022 to 2023, we're going to talk about the first big Knicks news, Cam Reddish being traded for Josh Hart. How did we get to that? Last season, we were very interested to see how Cam Reddish was going to, you know, be a part of this Knicks roster, right. If he was going to be one of the best players on this team, if he's going to elevate his game to make us wonder whether he should be starting, whether he's going to be a sixth man, you know, how is he going to contribute to this season?
Right.
And when the season started, as we talked about in our last episode, I was kind of worried about how we were going to start off the season. And boy, oh boy, was it a beginning of ups and downs for the Knicks. We didn't really play great to start the season, French.
I disagree. I think we played pretty good, but the defense just wasn't consistent. Cam Reddish wasn't consistent.
Nothing about the season starting off was consistent. We saw some good. We saw some bad. And led off to a subpar performance against the Dallas Mavericks on December 3rd, where we lost 121 to 100. Mm-hmm. And it was so bad that I made a reaction video from my car. I didn't even finish watching the game, actually, in the fourth quarter. I left, you know, and you guys can find this on the Knicks Take YouTube. I left in the middle of the game, got in my car, started driving, recorded myself about how disgusted I was with the Knicks' performance in that game.
Yep.
And it was probably the lowest of the low during that season.
Yeah, you were saying the season was over at that point.
I don't remember saying that, but I probably felt like that because it was just so bad that it made you question, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And immediately after that game, Tom Thibodeau decides, we're going to remove Cam Reddish from the rotation. We're going to move Evan Fournier from the rotation. We're going to move Derrick Rose from the rotation. And we're going to see how this Knicks team starts playing after that.
Gave Quentin Grimes and Deuce McBride more of the minutes. And
that's
then...
correct. And what happened after that, French? The Knicks instantly play better. It's a clear night and day shift. When you look at this season after that game, with those three players being removed from the lineup, the Knicks started playing so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And then leading up to the trade deadline, where it was announced the Knicks would be trading Cam Reddish, Svi Mykhailiuk, and Ryan Arcidiacono. I've gotten better at saying those names since last season.
Yep.
We traded the Reddish, Svi, and Arcidiacono and a protected first rounder for Josh Hart. And at the time, I was like, I don't know how good Josh Hart is. And then I was like, he's a good rebounder. You know, he can hit the three a little bit, you know. But you know what? Those three guys, they weren't really a part of the rotation. So I'm for it. Josh Hart's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Portland seems to be devastated that he's leaving. And what happened after that?
Nine-game
winning streak after acquiring Josh Hart. And the Knicks instantly went from being, okay, maybe they can get that fifth seed to... yeah, now we're definitely, if we don't get this fifth seed, something went wrong because we are playing way too good right now with Josh Hart, with the way Julius Randle is playing. And we'll talk about Julius Randle and we'll talk about Jalen Brunson a little bit better.
And after Tibbs made that rotation change where Cam stopped playing and he sat down Derrick Rose and Fournier, they also went on like another 6-7 game win streak too.
They had a few winning streaks throughout the season, a lot of 4-game winning streaks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we talked about this in the last episode from last year that I was really scared as to how the Knicks were going to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
And if they started the season, I didn't really see it going too well. But I got to give you your props, first of all. Let me say that. Because you predicted a 48-win season. And I went, 41, 42?
Mm-hmm.
And they finished 47 wins.
Yep.
So you definitely... correctly predicted that. And after the way that the Knicks started, I definitely at that point was not looking at how good this team was going to be. This team definitely changed thanks to Tom Thibodeau, thanks to the trade for Josh Hart.
Yep.
And yeah, let's keep it moving.
Yeah, that was a big trade that led to the Knicks finishing the season with the fifth seed. And before the season started, we were talking about Donovan Mitchell trade the whole saga last season. And as you know from the last episode, he got traded to Cleveland, which is who we ended up matching with in the first round. So that was all the hoopla in the first round when the playoffs started. Mm-hmm. Knicks is going to be playing against Donovan Mitchell, the guy that they should have traded for. They were the fourth seed, the best defense in the NBA. And everyone was predicting that this series would go 7 games. It would probably be the most exciting series of the first round. What ended up happening, the Knicks mollywopped them in 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a series. They came into game 1 in Cleveland, beat the Cavaliers on their home floor, went back home to the Garden tied 1-1. Mm-hmm. RJ Barrett had a bad couple of first games. He wasn't really performing. He heard a lot of criticism. ESPN was talking about they should bench him. Came out game 3, game 4, game 5. He was the second best player on the team behind Jalen Brunson. And Julius Randle was pretty much struggling the whole series, but he had a good way to close the series. But then he ended up getting injured. 5 games, we ended up ending the series out in Cleveland and took the gentleman's sweep. Donovan Mitchell lost in the first round again, proving that Leon Rose was right to hold his chips, not trade the whole house for Donovan Mitchell. And yeah, that was a pretty exciting series for Knicks fans. I don't know about everyone else. What were your thoughts on it?
Well, leading into that series, a lot of people were considering a referendum on whether the Knicks should have traded for Donovan Mitchell. If the Knicks go out the way that they did in their last playoff series when they played against the Atlanta Hawks, It wasn't gonna be a good. It wasn't gonna be a good night for Knicks fans or a good off season for Knicks fans because you had the opportunity to trade for Donovan Mitchell, giving up RJ Barrett and whatever it is that would have went with him. And Donovan Mitchell is clearly a top 20 player, top 30 player, depending on how you feel defense impacts your view on certain players. He was a player that the Knicks didn't have as far as star quality. Now, Jalen Brunson, he's gone one-on-one against Donovan Mitchell before, beat him in the playoffs before, but yeah, nobody was really considering that.
Right.
And you could have had both of them on the same team. This was, if the Knicks lost this series, you should have traded for Donovan Mitchell. But the Knicks did it. The Knicks came out, whipped them in five, gentlemen sweep, you know, pull out the Swiffer, not quite a broom, but the Swiffer, you know what I mean? Clean it up a little bit. Mitchell Robinson had his showing out party, just absolutely mauling their bigs.
The Twin Towers.
Jared Allen and Mobley. I don't want to butcher his first name, but.
Evan
Mobley. Because, you know, my memory is terrible. But yeah, Mitchell Robinson had a showing out party. Julius Randle, who was playing on an injured ankle, and we'll talk about that later too. He showed up when he needed to show up. RJ Barrett, after a couple of quiet first two games, showed up, as you said earlier, and really showed how he can be helpful to this Knicks team. Jalen Brunson did what Jalen Brunson does. This Knicks team just showed the world just how good they can be. Mm-hmm. And they saying the Knicks is good. They saying the Knicks are going to show up now that they played so well last season, right? Right. We've seen a lot of things coming after this playoffs about the Knicks. And, ooh, I wouldn't count them out in the Eastern Conference. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing now. So that first round put some respect on our names as far as Knicks go. So I think we said everything we need to say about the Cleveland series.
Yeah.
So
speaking of Julius Randle.
So you guys might remember, for those of you who are longtime listeners, how I feel about Julius Randle, or should I say, how I felt about Julius Randle.
Yeah, he was ready to throw him to the wolves. Remember, I was saying I gave him a second chance. He had a good training camp last year. Mm-hmm. He won some. What's the word I was saying? He got some faith back with me, let's just say. And he came out, had another All-NBA year.
That he did, sir. That he did. I will say this. Even leading up to the playoffs, Julius Randle still had a lot to prove to me. Because it wasn't about what he does in the regular season. Mm-hmm. It was about what he did in the playoffs. And extending further how he would return the next season.
Right.
But the most important thing to me was how he would show up in the playoffs.
Right.
Julius Randle, dude, you're doing a lot right now. Julius Randle started off the season, for me, shaky, which didn't do anything for my confidence for the full season. Thank you. I appreciate you. Didn't do anything for my confidence. Even if he started playing better, I was like, the fact that he started off shaky, he could be shaky again. He was mm-hmm. shaky last season. He had a good season before that. So I want to see what he does in the playoffs.
Right.
Well, before we get to the playoffs, the regular season, 25 points per game on 46% field goal shooting, 34% from three on high volume. He was shooting probably 8 threes a game, maybe 9. Mm-hmm. So he was shooting so much that they invited him to the three-point contest. We're not going to talk about that. But he got invited, which goes to show that he was shooting close to league average and at high volume, which is a very good thing to do for one of your top players. 10 rebounds a game, 4 assists per game. Julius Randle had an outstanding season that was completely different from what he was doing two years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, the entire offensive system ran through him. 2 years ago, all of the distribution ran through him, too. He took on a very huge load. This season, he did a little bit of that, mm-hmm. but not as much. The offense didn't rely on him as much as it relied on Jalen Brunson. And it was a different Randle. Every season, we've got a different Randle. But it was still a very good season. So good that he once again, he was named an All-Star. He was named to All-NBA. Was it second or third team? I want to say third team. He was second team the last time. He was third team this time. It was a good season for him. But as I said, the offense was running through Jalen Brunson. And Jalen Brunson was snubbed, in my opinion, from both the All-Star and All-NBA considerations.
Yeah, and he was their team.
Yes, he was. Thank you, sir. Do you agree with me that he was snubbed, or do you feel like everybody who was named as far as guards ahead of him should have been ahead of him?
I know for the All-Star game, Jalen Brunson definitely was snubbed. I didn't think DeMar DeRozan being on Chicago really deserved to be named an All-Star last season.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was somebody else, but they're just not coming into my memory right now. But Jalen Brunson was one of the best point guards in the NBA last season, I felt like.
I agree.
Let alone the East. So I think because Julius Randle was named an All-Star, they didn't want to give the Knicks two All-Star players coming off the fact that we missed the playoffs and the play-in last year. They probably thought, like,
I feel like there was an agenda.
Right. Like, they felt like maybe like Chicago needs to have an All-Star representative. And
there were some side stories going on that kept him out.
Yeah. And the same thing with All-NBA. I feel like Jalen Brunson proved to be one of the best point guards in the NBA, and he should have had an All-NBA spot as well, in my opinion. But maybe that's just the Knicks fan and me being a little biased. But I definitely felt like he was the best player on the Knicks last year. I felt like a lot of Julius Randle's, a lot of the praise that Julius Randle received came as a result of Jalen Brunson being the point guard of the team. Last year, we had Kemba Walker and Derrick Rose, and that's why we had such a bad Julius Randle, I felt like, because he had to be the point forward, and that's not really what his archetype is. He's a secondary playmaker, but he's not going to be the person that you want bringing the ball up and initiating the offense, as well as being your top scorer. Like, Jalen Brunson made his job so much easier, so that he definitely got a lot of the accolades, and he shined all throughout the season, scoring career highs in the Garden, and he was able to be more of a catch-and-shoot kind of player. He didn't have to be in the post initiating the offense as much, so mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson definitely made his workload a whole lot easier. He set him up for a lot of points, a lot of looks. And I just felt like he made the entire team better. And maybe outside of RJ Barrett throughout the whole year, but
I'm going to correct you. You don't feel like that. He did.
Yeah, he did.
There's no feeling. He was our best player.
Right.
And how many times can you look at a team and say, their best player didn't make... There's a team that has a member of their roster on All-NBA or All-Star, but their best player didn't.
Right.
Like, usually the best player is the one who gets one of those honors, mm-hmm. if not both. And we have one who got both, and it wasn't the best player on our team. There's definitely some Jalen Brunson disrespect going on, but, you know, but we're not going to delve too much on that on this episode. Maybe the next episode we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we snagged us a star. We didn't have to trade no draft picks for him.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to give him a max contract. He's getting paid less than
the best
Julius
value
Randle.
Best value contract
in the NBA.
In the NBA, bar none, because he is clearly a star point guard, and he's getting paid what some backup point guards are getting paid.
Right.
So, well, I think we can move right along to round two of the playoffs.
Right.
Knicks.
So after the Knicks mollywopped Cleveland in the first round, they were set off to face Jimmy Butler and the eighth-seeded Miami Heat. And if you were watching the playoffs last year, you know the Miami Heat were in the play-in. Mm-hmm. They faced off against Chicago. They looked like they were about to lose. And they smacked them. They beat them, made it out of the play-in, faced off against Milwaukee in the first round with Giannis Antetokounmpo,
mm-hmm.
who won the championship the year before, and they went to Milwaukee, beat them. Giannis got hurt, and the eighth-seeded Miami Heat knocked off the one-seed Milwaukee Bucks. And going into the second round, the Knicks were looked at as the favorite to beat Miami because we won the season series against them. We played them really well all year. we were the deeper team in most people's eyes. There was a lot of guys on Miami that were undrafted that nobody really heard of or haven't really made a name for themselves yet. So I was excited. You remember, I was telling you, we going to the Eastern Conference Finals. Miami barely made the playoffs. They were shooting way above their league in the first round. Like, they got lucky because Giannis was hurt. And Jimmy Butler's just that dude. Like, he shows up and turns into Michael Jordan in the playoffs. But I felt like Tom Thibodeau coached Jimmy Butler. He raised him from a pup to the point where he was drafted under Tom Thibodeau. He was playing with Derrick Rose all them years, and he was the number two option. So if anyone knows how to shut down Jimmy Butler, I thought Tibbs was going to be the perfect coach to do that. And Jimmy Butler didn't really go off against us like that. He had a good series, but he wasn't doing what he was doing against Milwaukee. He didn't do that against the Knicks. But still, Miami came in game one. We had no Julius Randle because he had the ankle injury. Obi Toppin was the starter.
Well, before you, let's stick on that Julius Randle, because I was going
to
bring it up.
Talk to me.
But I felt like it was more important for this Miami series.
Mm-hmm.
How did he hurt his ankle again? I can't really remember.
He hurt his ankle in the regular season.
Against who? The Miami,
yeah.
Yeah.
Miami injured him.
Yeah.
And then
I was trying to give you the alley-oop and you didn't dunk it. I'm sorry. Yes, it was against Miami.
Yeah.
Right? And it was kind of like, is he going to come back for the playoffs?
Right.
Is he going to be good for the playoffs? If he's not there, what are we going to do?
Right.
He showed up against the Cleveland Cavs on that bum ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very important factor for the playoffs, having Julius Randle healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he tweaked that ankle again in the Cleveland series.
Yep, in the final game, game five.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't have him for that first game. But that was that ended up being a big storyline. Julius Randle's ankle, after he was sabotaged by a Miami Heat player.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played them again. And once again, that ankle reared its head. I don't want to say that they were targeting him, but how many times are you going to hurt the same part of your ankle against the same team?
No, he hurt his ankle against Cleveland.
He did, but he landed on Bam's leg again in round two.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
So that was a big story, Julius Randle's ankle. If he was healthy, would the Knicks have won? Would they have been better? That was a big story for this Miami series, both coming into it and throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Julius Randle's play? Do you attribute the ankle injury to his poor play?
I mean, now after the season is over and we saw that he had to go and get surgery done on his ankle, it definitely gave us some perspective. But at the time, I'm like, if you can play, there's no, like, I don't want to hear all this injury. Like, everyone's injured at this point of the season. Everyone done played 82 games and no one's fully healthy. So if you're able to play, you're supposed to be giving your 100% effort. Mm-hmm. And this is the playoffs. This isn't like a regular season game. You're supposed to be giving it your all.
You're insinuating it. You might as well go ahead and say it.
He had a piss poor series. he played really bad. I'm trying not to curse, but he didn't really live up to all NBA All-Star Julius Randle.
He was one of our best players. He was putting in for that series. Would you say he was putting in a decent amount of effort?
Due to his ankle being messed up, I'm like, I can understand you not sprinting back on defense, and
mm-hmm.
I understand. At the time, I was really frustrated with him because I felt like this is the time where you're supposed to be putting your body on the line the most. If you have a chance to get to the conference finals, if you have a chance to beat an eighth-seeded team and you have home court advantage
mm-hmm.
in this series, you have to do everything you can to win. And in game one of the series, he wasn't able to play, and we lost that series. Jimmy Butler ended up spraining his ankle that game. So in game two, when he came back, Julius Randle came back, and he was able to play, and Jimmy Butler was not able to play, I felt like the Knicks should have taken full advantage, and he should have taken full advantage to be a leader on the floor, a leader in the locker room. I don't know what happened in the locker room or whatever, but it didn't seem like he was the top dog and leading the team to play as good as they could, because it was a nail-biter in game two as well. And we lost game one. Game two came back. We barely won with no Jimmy Butler. They went down to Miami, lost both games in Miami when Jimmy Butler came back. Came back to the Garden for game five. And I'm still waiting for Julius Randle to have a breakout game. I'm like, when is he going to turn back into All-NBA performer? And Jalen Brunson was the guy who we had to rely on. He was the one who won game five for us. Played the entire game in the Garden, getting high fives from John Starks and other Knicks legends. Had Carmelo Anthony in there going crazy, and forced the game six, which was not what the number one seeded Milwaukee Bucks could even do with Miami.
Right,
and Jalen Brunson came out for game six in Miami. He was still the best player. Dropped 41 points. He was the leader, and Julius Randle gave his worst effort of the season, I felt like, in that last game. So it's tough. It's tough.
I'm glad that you brought it back to Jules. We're going to wrap up Julius real quick. His effort for the playoffs, sometimes great, sometimes not. Not exactly what you need from your top two player on your team. He's top two and not one. I left the series feeling like, yeah, Julius Randle, we know what he is. Can't rely on him to give you 100% effort.
Right.
And that's not great. That's not great. But his talent is just too good. And I was ready to trade him for a bag of chips after his piss poor season the season before.
Which is understandable.
Throughout this season, this past season, I was like, okay, maybe not a bag of chips. Let's get good value for him. But I do still think that he needs to go. Because some of the stuff that we were complaining about the previous season still existed throughout this season. And then leading into the playoffs, as I said before, I want to see what he does in the playoffs before I switch sides on him. And a lot of people saw what he did in the playoffs and they said, look, see, he had a bad playoffs. You can't rely on him. Yes, he had the bum ankle, right? And while I subscribe to the ankle shouldn't have been a biggest factor as a lot of people are making out to be, especially now that he had that surgery. People are like, look, see, he had surgery. That means there's a lot of players who show out in the playoffs and then have surgery in the offseason to fix something that's wrong with them.
Leg injuries, though, I feel like that's tough. Ankle injuries, it's hard to have good lateral movement when you got a broken bone in your ankle.
Yes, lateral movement.
It's the last bit of bail I'm going to shoot Julius Randle.
All right, lateral movement. If lateral movement was the issue, then, yeah. When we look at these clips from the playoffs, we're not talking about lateral movement. We're talking about bad body language. We're talking about not getting back on defense. We're talking about looking at your players at your teammates, like they messed up when you did something wrong too. And these are all bad qualities to have from one of your top players. With that said, he showed enough to me in the playoffs for me to say, you know what? If he ends up being on this team as one of our main rotation players after we acquire a star player, I'm not going to be mad. I think that this Knicks team can win with him on it. I just don't think that. I think that especially with Jalen Brunson on the team being the leader, and that's taking that title off of him, I think that it places him exactly where he needs to be. He is one of the leaders, but he cannot be the leader. And he showed enough to me in this playoffs that he's not gonna be completely trash for the entire playoffs. He will himself. Remember that first game against Cleveland when he came in? He wasn't great, but he provided the energy for this Knicks team for us to squeak out that first game. So, and that's all I was really looking for. Can you do it in a playoff game or two? We need that. We need him to be Julius Randle for a game or two in each series. Yeah. And he did that. He did that against Miami. He did that against Cleveland. Should he have been better throughout the entire series? Yes. But we're not paying him a supermax contract. We're not paying Jalen Brunson a supermax contract. And I would say that they're both outperforming their contracts right now. And I'm not going to be on the Randall Haterthon, you know, unless he has another season like he did, which I predicted before that he will have a good season and a bad season. I'm not going to predict that, but I'm not going to be on the Julius Randle Haterthon anymore. I'm going to reserve some optimism for Julius Randle.
Yeah, he has a point guard now, and now they have another year under their belt together. This was just their first year together. Mm-hmm. So now they got a lot more chemistry playing together. I think RJ Barrett found himself in the playoffs. He found a way to be able to fit in and play his role as the third option, basically. I remember before the season, we were thinking, like, maybe Julius, Brunson, and RJ, maybe they can't coexist. Yeah, but
that's still a question, too.
It's still a question, but now that they have a whole year under their belt playing together, RJ knows the areas of the floor where he can attack and get better at. If he could be a better spot-up shooter, I believe the Knicks are destined for
greatness.
Another great season where we're not going to be shocking anyone. Everyone knows what to expect when they come to play us, but they just can't stop it. The only thing that stopped us in the playoffs was the fact that we were going against a Miami team that had experience. Mm-hmm. They've been in the playoffs picture for the last, 6-7 years. They've been in the conference finals every year going against Boston. They made the finals in the bubble, and now they just made the finals this last season as well. If you're going to lose to any team in the NBA, it's got to be against the team that's packed with veterans, experienced players, led by a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's looking like Michael Jordan anytime the postseason begins. So we fared well against them, and I feel like this season we're gonna take off on another level.
Yeah, so let's wrap it up with the playoffs as far as, yeah, we lost to Miami in 6.
Mm-hmm.
Miami ended up being the team who went to the Eastern Conference, and we were by far the best Eastern Conference team against Miami, and Miami went down to the Denver Nuggets in the finals.
Well, Boston took them 7 games. But then they got, Jason Tatum got hurt in that last game. They could have won. But Tatum, he had a bum ankle after he landed on Bam Adebayo. He's like the ankle monster at this point. He always going for somebody. Everyone gets injured against Miami.
We were insinuating it without saying it.
Nah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bam, you got to stop that shit.
You got to stop that. For real. For real, Bam. Yes, they took them to 7. They didn't score on the Knicks the way that they scored on everybody else
Right. Throughout
the entire playoffs.
Right.
So, yes, the Knicks went down in 6. We can blame Julius Randle. We can blame Emmanuel Quickley and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Quentin Grimes didn't shoot as well as he could have. So that's why I say what I said. I think the Knicks could have still won Game 6 if we were full strength. And I think the Knicks could have beat the Miami Heat with a little more seasoning, which you can't do in the playoffs, right? I think that the Knicks next year will be better than the Miami Heat. But we'll talk about that next week. We'll go into how the Knicks are going to fare against all the teams, including one of the teams that we're going to talk about in the Knicks topic of the week.
Mm-hmm. Because speaking of Miami, they were so ready to make a trade after making the finals. They lost to Denver.
It's such an easy segue right now.
They were like, yo, all we need is another scoring option.
Just one more.
And we're going to win the chip. So they like, all right, who's available?
Put him next to Jimmy.
Damian Lillard. Damn. Requests a trade from Portland. And his number one option, the Miami Heat. So Pat Riley, the GM, or is he the GM or just the president? He's the president, right?
Listen.
He was asleep.
Bleep Pat Riley, first of all.
I like Pat.
He's doing a good job over there in Miami. He should have been doing it in New York. But we'll talk about that. I mean, old-time Knicks fans know what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, there's massive history with Miami and Pat Riley. I believe that it sounded like a match made in heaven. Put Dame Lillard next to Jimmy Butler. We got one of the best defenders and two-way players in the NBA with one of the top big shot hitters in the NBA. We got a roster that will cover Damian Lillard's weaknesses. And now we might see Miami Heat in the playoffs. We might see Miami Heat in the finals again. I don't want to talk about Miami too much. I want to relate this to the Knicks. But Miami missed out. They didn't get Dame. Long story short. And they lost a couple of their key players that they beat us in the playoffs with. We're not going to talk about them either. But I'm just going to say right now, preview for next week, Miami ain't going to be in the playoff conversation. I'm wondering if they're going to be in the play-in conversation this upcoming season.
Most likely.
So does that mean Damian Lillard stayed with Portland? Well, as we found out a few days ago, Damian Lillard was traded, but not to Miami, to the Milwaukee Bucks.
The team that Miami beat in the first round badly. Mm-hmm. Giannis was rumored to be looking to leave Milwaukee soon because he didn't like how he went out in the first round after winning the championship the year before. So he put some pressure on their front office to make a trade, and they made the trade.
Yep.
For Damian Lillard in a three-team trade between Phoenix, Portland, and Milwaukee.
What was the trade?
There's a lot of pieces, but moral of the story is Drew Holiday went to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Ayton went to Portland. Phoenix got a bunch of leftover players and some, I don't know what Phoenix got. They got
I'll tell you.
Yusuf Nurkic.
So Damian Lillard is headed to the Milwaukee Bucks as part of a three-team deal involving the Phoenix Suns that sees Bucks guard Drew Holiday and Sun center DeAndre Hunter on the move. Bucks
DeAndre Ayton.
DeAndre Ayton. Freudian slip. DeAndre Ayton on the move. Bucks receive Damian Lillard via the Blazers. There were some other pieces. There were some other picks in there. We're not going to get into all that because it's not Knicks related. But how does this relate to Knicks? Well, that's because the Bucks are in the Eastern Conference. And
that's going to make it.
We play them on Christmas Day. Yeah. And the Bucks, yes, this is a trade that makes the Bucks better. This is a trade where you're putting two of the best players in the NBA next to each other. Giannis Antetokounmpo is great inside of the three-point arc.
And on defense. And in rebounding.
And Damian Lillard is good anywhere beyond the three-point arc. How do you defend that? And for a team like the Knicks, who are, you know, known as a good defensive team and known as a hard-playing team, I do think that this is going to make things tough for the Knicks. Do you see that matchup being a very big problem for us in this upcoming season?
I see that matchup being a big problem from every team in the NBA. I feel like they're the closest thing to LeBron and Kyrie since 2017. But Giannis is just one of the best players in the world. He has now the best offensive player he's ever had in his career on his team now. Damian Lillard now has the best defender and scorer he's ever had on his team. So I feel like it's a match made in heaven. They gave up a lot to get Dame. Drew Holiday was the best defender or best perimeter defender on Milwaukee, and I feel like he's going to be sorely missed. But you trade one for an outstanding offensive talent in Damian Lillard. You can't really regret that at all. You can always draft another defender or sign another. You make another trade. You could do whatever you can to get some perimeter defense on your team, but you cannot get a top 75 player like Damian Lillard on your team.
How does this really impact, though, the New York Knicks? Why are we talking about them?
I mean, outside of the fact that we're going to be playing Milwaukee on Christmas Day and we're going to have to face this team in the playoffs, barring any injuries on their side, Drew Holiday was the biggest name in this trade outside of Damian Lillard, and he's in Portland now. Portland is looking to shop him because they don't really want to keep Drew Holiday with their roster because they already have a bunch of young guards that they just finished drafting. Scoot Henderson was their main draft pick this last offseason, which is what kicked off the Damian Lillard trade, which motivated them to want to get rid of him. And I believe the Knicks are one of the teams in pursuit of Drew Holiday, according to reports.
Yep.
They have expressed some interest with Portland, but Portland is looking to shop him for some draft compensation. It's rumored to be multiple first-round picks, if at least two first-round picks, which we have. A lot of teams don't have access to their own first-round picks as well as others. We have seven that we can trade. Mm-hmm. And
not for Drew, though.
I don't think Drew Holiday is the person that we should make those type of investments in, just due to the fact that he isn't on the same timeline as the rest of the roster. We're one of the youngest rosters in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I think we're set up to have the brightest future out of all the teams in the East. A lot of the teams in the East that are good right now all are topping out, and they're going to be losing a lot of their best players due to just age and probably retirement soon. Drew Holiday's 33 years old. And for us to make that trade with his huge contract, it would have to include either RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, or just any one of the guys of the on the roster that we just don't want to leave off the roster. Like, we don't want to trade any of these young guys. We would trade Evan Fournier, but his contract isn't enough to make a trade like this. And if Drew Holiday is the last piece of the puzzle, I feel like he makes perfect sense. But if he's just going to be a piece and we still need another top dog to come in, I don't think it's worth it. I think he's the guy that you trade for when you're one piece away from winning a championship, and I don't think we're at that point right now. What's your thoughts?
I go back and forth on this. So as you just said, first of all, it's not either RJ or Quickly. Quickly's contract, like, if you're putting Quickly in, it's so that you don't have to send a first-round pick. Or maybe that's what Portland wants. But if they want RJ and Quickly, you say no. RJ's contract is key. I don't think the Knicks are going to trade Julius Randle for Drew Holiday. He's the other salary that would be perfect in a trade like this, but they're not doing that. They're probably doing RJ and then somebody else to make the salaries more even. RJ, some salary filler, one first round pick, maybe a protected on top of that. Do I do that so I can have a starting lineup of Jalen Brunson, Drew Holiday, either Josh Hart or Quentin Grimes, Julius Randle, and Mitchell Robinson? That's a tempting lineup.
How many years?
I mean, according to those same reports, if the Knicks do pursue Drew Holiday, they are not looking at, we're just going to try him out for this year. No, they're going to try to extend him if they're going to make that trade. So they're going to do their due diligence to make sure that he's willing to stay with New York past this season. So I like Drew Holiday as, you know, a part of this lineup. RJ Barrett's defense can be good, but a lot of times isn't. He played very well in the playoffs, both offensively and defensively. If he can keep that up, then maybe this is not a trade that I'm jumping at the chance. But he's very inconsistent, and he has to show for an entire season that he's not going to be inconsistent before this is not an interesting trade to me. So if he's the headliner in a trade for Drew Holiday, I have to consider it. Yeah, it doesn't make us a clear contender, but let's assume Quentin Grimes gets better. Remember, this is his third year. He shot well. First time in the playoffs. He's got some you know, seasoning now. First year, he was a good shooter. Second year, he showed he can be a great two-way player. If he can continue his upward swing, he starts or he comes off the bench. You got Emmanuel Quickly. He was great last year. Mm-hmm. He's got a little bit more playoff experience. It's still a very good team. And I'm not saying that they would win the championship with that team, but they will definitely be a better team if they do that trade, if it's constructed the way that I just said.
Here's one aspect you're leaving out. And I'm surprised that we didn't even address this whole podcast.
Okay.
We lost Obi Toppin this summer.
Well, I was going to bring it up before we signed out because that didn't happen in season. And I didn't think that it was bigger Knicks news than this Damian Lillard situation.
But here's why I bring it up.
Okay.
When you trading a guy like RJ Barrett for another guard, mm-hmm. when we just picked up a guard in free agency in Dante DiVincenzo, mm-hmm. who is a great rebounder, great shooter, but when you lose out on size with Obi Toppin, and then you trade another big body in RJ Barrett for another guard, I don't think that that's going to bode well for our defense. So maybe Jrue Holiday is a great perimeter defender, but you saw what Jimmy Butler was doing to him in the playoffs. He wasn't doing that to RJ Barrett. Right. And RJ Barrett was our second best player in the playoffs this last season. And he's only 22, 23 years old. Jrue Holiday's 33 years old. So RJ Barrett's ceiling still has not been determined. He hasn't even reached his prime. And that's what makes me shaky.
And that's the thing. That's the thing where
in an aspect like this.
Yeah. And as I said earlier, that's the thing that is going to be very key. Can RJ Barrett show that same consistency that he showed in the playoffs for an entire season? And can he show it again in the playoffs? We know what Jrue Holiday is. There's not a question about what Jrue Holiday is. The only problem with a trade like this is that we can't say that same certainty for RJ Barrett. And that is what's going to determine whether this is a good trade or not. So I think it's good for us to leave it there. I'm not hoping that they make a trade like this. I'm very comfortable with the team as it's currently constructed. I think this team is going to do very well. It's not a coincidence that we're seeing a lot of pundits, a lot of people who are in the blog sphere, in the YouTube sphere, start saying, hey, listen, don't count out the Knicks. They're bringing back a better version of the team with most of their players still here. They've got that cohesion, that consistency. They've got all of the things that they need in order to make that run in the playoffs.
And we got the young guys who are still learning. They're still young.
There's just
quickly coming off his worst play of his career in that last playoff run. He's going to be a lot better. He was supposed to be sixth man in the year. I don't see him not being in that same race this upcoming season. Quentin Grimes, another season where he's going to grow, be a bigger 3-and-D threat.
There's a lot to be excited about with this mm-hmm. season. And outside of the Milwaukee Bucks, and we'll talk about this more in depth in the next episode, outside of the Milwaukee Bucks, the rest of the Eastern Conference, I don't see there being a team that is clear-cut 100% better than the Knicks. So we'll talk about that more next week when we release the next episode of the Knicks Take podcast.
50 wins. Calling
it a little early for the season predictions, French.
I heard it here first. 50 wins. I haven't even seen them in preseason yet.
We're going to talk about that. Next episode, we're going to talk about the preseason games that are coming up. We're going to talk about the training camp, which should have started by the time that we record next week.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about a bunch of other things. This episode, I wanted to kind of briefly mention, when you come check us out on the Instagram, we're going to have some things about some events that we have recently gone to. I recently went to a Josh Hart event in Rucker Park. Make sure you check us out on Instagram and some of our other social media platforms for, you know, some of the pictures and videos that we've taken on those things that should be out by the time you see this podcast.
For sure.
French, do you got anything real quick you want to plug?
No, I don't have anything to plug this time around, but keep watching further episodes coming up. We're going to have some stuff to talk about. I don't know why I'm always stumbling and bumbling in the beginning and the end of the episodes. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know either. But once again, I am Josh So Focus. This is my co-host,
French the Bro Host.
And Make sure that you check us out on YouTube. Make sure you check us out on all podcasting streaming platforms. Please hit that like, hit that share, hit that subscribe.
That notification bell.
Hit that notification bell. And once again, please share it with all of your loved ones. Make sure that Knicks fan that you always talking to stuff about, if you like us, you like what you hear and look what you see, make sure that you tell them, hey, this is a pretty good up-and-coming podcast coming up. You should try and check this out. And also check us out on our website, knickstake.com. Once again, thank you. We appreciate you guys. We love you.
Love y'all.
Peace out, y'all.
Peace. The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do?